hang around, learn a little. It's as sweet as honey and always a buzz. It's the Ultimate Pollinators Podcast with Ben, his friends and associates, and of course, Ben's bees.
Hey everyone, Bees with Ben. Super excited, super pumped, and absolutely got an awesome episode on this week. And thank you so much for listening. So today we've got Keith Johnson. Now he's a young gentleman. Being, when I say young, he's 82 years old and was born on the 1st of January 1940. So we're going to hear some very interesting things. Now he's not a commercial beekeeper. He's a hobbyist recreational beekeeper, but it's really cool for when we actually heard when he first got into bees. And by starting off the conversation with Keith, the first question I asked him was, what was the most important lessons you've learned in your life?
Well, the first one, I suppose, was don't run barefoot through the clover when you're 3 or 4 years old.
Love it.
That introduced me to bees very quickly. I've probably cheated death 3 times. One was from cutting a live end off a lead. I didn't check to see whether it was still on. It blew the hell out of my saw blade, but anyway, I survived that.
Wow.
And another one was putting the ladder up to clean the guttering and find the ladder disappeared from under me.
Oh, bugger.
And I crashed down on top of it, broke my scapula. And as the gentleman who put me back together again said, are you over 60? I said, yes, quite a bit over 60.
Okay.
He said, people of your age do not climb ladders. So I follow that almost religiously. But another probably almost death-defying was when I leapt out of bed early June, cold night, etc., deep sleep, and raced off to the toilet. And wife reckons I bounced 3 times off the floor and several times off the furniture, but I can only recall one of those. I ended up in hospital and I cracked a vertebrae. And I saw a CT scan the other day and I didn't crack it, I crushed it. I really did. Wonder my back still works. At any rate, the cardiologist that was assigned to me in hospital trying to work out what the hell went on, he decided that my blood pressure medication was too powerful. He said it was, in other words, I was an idiot for leaping out of bed without stabilizing myself after a deep sleep. And I was probably dehydrated. Well, I'm not a great favourite of water, so he's probably right on all those. So he had 5 fingers in the air, and I said, have you got a 6th? And he said, yes. I said, how about 2 double scotches before retiring? He said, fair enough. So he sent me home, and I see him every 6 months. It's a bit like over-servicing, but he's an excellent guy, and I'm just about to send him a Chinese New Year card because he's Chinese.
Okay, yeah.
And so they're some of the lessons I've had, but I've probably forgotten others too.
Absolutely love that. Now, everyone's going to be asking, do you want to divulge your youth, your age, Keith?
Do you want me to divulge it? I was born on
yes.
1st of January 1940.
1st of January 1940.
Yeah, so I've been around for a while. And I can recall air raid sirens being tested in Brisbane.
Oh, fair dinkum.
And we had bomb shelters in the neighbour's back garden, trench type things. And I can remember food coupons, and I've actually got one for clothing. You know, to hand over these coupons to get a pair of pants or bread or meat or what have you. So interesting times.
So you grew up in Brisbane? You grew up in Brisbane? That's where you're born, Keith?
Brisbane, yeah. And my first recollection, it's a faint one, of actually beekeeping was that Mr. Fleet, who lived in a brick house up the road, we were in a weatherboard, and he also had a vehicle, which fascinated me because I'd not been in the car. But I recall going with my mum and Mr. Fleet to a farm somewhere, and he had bee boxes and frames and things, and he was showing me the. But I was more fascinated by the car ride. But
okay.
Anyway, so that was interesting. I saw what beekeeping was about, but we didn't actually get into beekeeping until the mid 70s, and that was by chance because wife came in. She's been with me for 58 years. Why she hangs on, I don't know. But anyway, she came in and said, oh, there's a bee swarm in the neighbour's place. And I said, yeah, what are we going to do about that? And she said, well, I've read an article recently that said that they're quite friendly when they're swarming. And all you have to do is cut the branch off and put it in a box. And, you know, that's it.
Yes, yeah.
And I thought, that's interesting. Anyway, I sort of scratched around, and next thing I know, she's got a smile on her face, and she's got this tea chest because we just come back from London. We were transferred over there by shelter and made into a gentleman, but I must have failed because I came back after 18 months. But anyway,
okay.
Another story. She had these bees in a tea chest because they carriers in those days used empty tea chests for guarding stuff around the world. So I cut a hole in it, and then it was a mad scramble up to the library to read about bees because there was no web in those days.
Okay, yeah.
And then off to Redpath down at Parkdale to get some basic kit. And I've got before me now a guide to keeping bees in Australia by Norman Redpath. So that's my Bible.
That's awesome.
Apart from your recent publication, of course, which is fantastic.
Yes.
So that was our introduction to bees, and we actually kept them until we were transferred to Malaysia by Shell. I joined Shell as a mail boy, by the way, at 16, and I did accounting at night school, and I stayed there for 42 years and then retired, and I ended up group treasurer and superannuation manager. So
okay, yep.
That was quite good, I thought. Anyway, we had these bees up until 1989 when we went to Malaysia for 5 years, and I gave the bees to a friend who actually fought against the Russians in the German army. He was from Estonia, and the reason he joined the German army is because the Russians were invading his homeland, so
okay, yep.
He wanted to kick him out. But of course, when the tide turned, he had to get out, and he went to the UK, and he and his wife turned up here as refugees. So he was interested in bees. He retired down to Bairnsdale, so I gave Arby my bees.
Okay.
At that stage, we had a couple of hives, I guess.
And when was this, Keith? This is in the 70s?
Sorry?
Is this in the 70s? So when this happened?
That was in the 1989 we left for Malaysia. So
okay.
It would have been into the 90s. We came back in 95 from Malaysia.
Okay.
And the first person to ring me was Arby to say, hey, you know these bees? We now got four hives. And I said, what do you mean we've got four hives? And he said, it's a partnership. He said, pretty tough work, he said, so I need some help. So I said, all right. So I used to travel down to Bairnsdale, help him with the robbing the hives and looking after the bees in general. It was expensive honey by the time I drove down and back, but you can't put a price on friendship, can you?
No, that's true.
So unfortunately, Arby passed away, and that link was broken. But the only reason I stayed in bees up until we went to Malaysia was that, you know, bees are a problem because they swarm and you get a surplus and you don't want them roaming around the neighbourhood. So we fortunately had a scouting friend who was early into pollination. He was providing hives to strawberry growers up in the hills.
Okay.
So he was quite happy to take any surplus bees. So that was, you know, the reason we stayed in it. We're not a great honey family, but we do eat honey. Anyway, we came back from the Bairnsdale business, and no more bees for quite a while until, hugger me, a swarm turns up in 2008, about October, in our Rosella nesting box. Fortunately, the Rosellas had finished with the box.
Okay, yeah.
So I got that down, and I had some bee kit, which I'd kept, so we were back in business. So that was October 2018. And the only reason I went back into bees at that stage was that the flow hives had been invented.
Yes.
Because I didn't like the decapping and extracting. That was quite backbreaking. Okay, for you apiarists, you have machinery and what have you, but it's quite arduous.
Yes.
So we've got a couple of flower hives, and they work very well, actually. But the other reason we're back in is that our number two son found you when he was parked beside you in the traffic lights, and he saw this gaily painted vehicle with bees on it, and somehow or other he got your attention. You gave him a small bottle of honey and my contact details, and now you take our surplus. So it worked well.
It's worked fantastic because we've got, so for the listeners, we've created a friendship because, you know, you've got your bees and you do splits just to keep those numbers down and prevent swarming, and you, you know, ring me up, send me a message on WhatsApp and go, hey, Benny, bees are ready. I give you the box and you give me the box back full of bees. So it's a good little relationship we've got going there, which is fantastic.
And you keep telling me what a fantastic beekeeper I am, so I love that. So that's why I'm still in it.
See? Well, it's true. It's true.
But I do give you some interesting messages on WhatsApp, don't I?
You know? I love it.
It's quite frustrating, actually. That the last two seasons, they've been crazy. I don't know. But anyway, I've learned a few things, but I'm still learning.
That's the best thing about bees is, always learning. Now, you've got something in your backyard, Keith, that I absolutely love. Tell the listeners all about the history of that big thing that you've got in your backyard.
Yeah, well, you know, we planted that 45 years ago. It was as thick as my little finger. It was the wrong tree for the garden. But, you know, it's about 2.5 metres around the base now. It costs us a couple of grand every few years to get a tree expert to give it a bit of a trimming to make sure it doesn't overhang the neighbours and cut out any, you know, difficult branches and what have you. And he does a good job because we haven't had any problems with it. But as you know, it's seeds, and I collect them, and you're growing a plantation somewhere on your folks' place. And I'd like to visit that one of these days, if Corbett ever lets us get out of our home environment.
It's so true, talking about this tree. So my children call me a tree nerd because I don't know why. I love looking at trees. You know, there's such a beautiful gift of nature, and particularly this Sydney blue gum that's in your backyard. It's just something special about it, and I just love the history. As you said, 45 years ago,
The bees love it too. Every 2 or 3 years when it flowers,
yes.
But some of the seedlings we're giving you are from the front yard, and we've got spotted gum and lemon scented there. So you're getting a bit of a mix, but I try to signal to you where they've come from and what they're likely to be.
Yes.
But you might be able to pick them with your experience. But I'm pretty sure the ones we get from the backyard are the Sydney blue gum. So there's another 10 or so waiting for you when you turn up.
Fantastic. On the next round. Now, Keith, let's go back a little step. You mentioned about Norman Redpath, Redpath's beekeeping supplies. So this is back in the 70s. Tell us about that. So what was that shop like?
Sorry,
The shop. What was it like?
There's a shop down at Parkdale, I think it is, down near the water. But now I actually got my flow hives, of course, from the Byron Bay guys and girls, and I've also got some of my kit from up there. But there's a bee supply place not too far away from here now that's opened up. I think they've got a property at the basin and they've opened a shop down Scoresby Way.
Yes.
So I get my frame material there and what have you. But I don't need a lot. And you supply me with kit for the swarm management, which is good.
Yes, and as I said, works out. Yeah, it's a great little relationship. And I encourage the listeners, you know, and if you know someone who, like yourself, you know, because you do a fantastic job, you know, putting these bees together. I got these big, fat, healthy bees that are, when I open them up, they're all coming out. And it's absolutely, yeah, I love the relationship that we have there, Keith. It works out really, really yeah. well.
Well, I think I just told you I did my first varroa
yes.
test.
Yes, tell us about that.
During the week, and I bought the kit from this Scoresby bee supply place. I saw them on the shelf and I asked her what they were, and so I read it and brought it home and it sat on the shelf until I got round to collecting 300 volunteers the other day from one of our hives. And that's interesting in itself because the blurb says, shake out the bees from three frames with brood onto a couple of sheets of newspaper. Well, getting 300 bees to stand still on the muddy newspaper is interesting. And then when you turn it into a funnel and try to shake them into this fairly narrow top jar, it's quite interesting. And anyway, once they get into the icing sugar, they're trapped then because they're absolutely covered in the stuff. And you sort of rotate them for 2 or 3 minutes in one direction, wait for 2 minutes, and then rotate them again for 2 or 3 minutes. And they don't come out angry. They just come out a bit confused, I think. And they race into the hive and they get licked off. So it's quite interesting. And then, of course, you have to shake the icing sugar and any mites and what have you into a bucket of water. And sugar dissolves and you're peering and there's nothing there, which is good because I wouldn't like to be the first beekeeper in Australia to find the varroa mites.
I know, I shouldn't laugh at that, but they'll be on every single station on TV, yeah. That's for sure.
You'd probably get shot. Yeah. I don't know.
that's true. And Keith, what would be the hardest part about beekeeping for you?
Well, I guess it's convincing my neighbour that they're not my bees when she gets a swarm in her place.
Okay.
but, you know, sometimes I don't think they are mine, but other times I'm pretty sure they probably are. And, you know, when something swarms and then you put them into a box and they swarm again in the same season, it becomes a bit frustrating.
Yes.
Do you find that? Because
I'm good question, Keith, because I'm of the same opinion as you. They're not my bees. They're someone else's bees. My bees yeah. don't swarm.
yeah. Anyway, I collect them in Sandra's place and I don't actually roam the neighbourhood looking for swarms of bees, but if anyone lets me know they've got a swarm. Actually, my GP, who is probably getting close to retirement, he's interested in bird photography and bees and what have you, and I keep him up to date with my beekeeping experiences. And I think I've talked him out of having bees in his backyard, but anyway.
You've talked him out. Why is that? What did you
tell him? Well, I think he thinks it's too much trouble. But I told him, look, I'll tell it as it is. And, you know, that they're beautiful creatures and they're great. And he's always concerned about fishing them out of his swimming pool, you know.
Okay.
You should just drain the pool and that wouldn't be a problem anymore.
Get rid of the pool, that's right.
yeah. But, you know, I'm sure he'll take on but he'll need someone like you to hold his hand.
Yes. And Keith, what about the best part about beekeeping for you? What do you love the most?
Oh, giving the honey to friends and what have you. But we don't eat a lot of honey, but the family uses a bit of it. But Shirley uses it for fundraising for VUE. She's involved in the VUE organisation, which supports underprivileged children in education. And they work with the Smith family. So
okay.
She puts our bottles of honey on the table and gets some funds for VUE from those. So, you know, it's great to use honey for other people's benefit.
And what does Shirley think about your bees? What's Shirley's take on it?
Tolerates it, I think. I've got a second bee suit that Darren, the guy you met, our son, I've told her just roll up the legs and the sleeves and, you know, you can come and work with me, but she hasn't done it yet.
She hasn't done it yet? Okay.
No. But, so there you go.
And Keith, what about the stings? How do you go, you know, have you been stung recently by a bee?
Have I been stung by a bee?
Yeah, recently.
Yes, one hit me in the face, but I didn't get the sting in and I was able to get it, you know, cleared away before I got a dose. But in my 70s, I used to use a mechanics overalls, and that only had press studs and no zip. So it used to be interesting when a bee decided to go in between the studs and, you know, tap dance on your chest. But I've now got a bee suit, and I've used that most of the time, although when I'm only doing simple things, I just put a veil on because I'm a bit concerned about eyes. You get hit in the eye with bad news. And it'd be quite stupid to be stung to death by a bee or losing a sight or something.
Yes, that's so true. And Keith, so you mentioned you've got the flow hive. So talk us about that. How do you find them? You mentioned obviously get some honey out of them, so you find it pretty straightforward.
Yes, I'm concerned that one of these days I'll get crystallized honey in there and that'll clog them up, because that can happen. But I think the flow hive is a good invention. Actually, the only problem I've had with them is that there's a access window in the back.
Yes.
That you pull out to get at the taps and things. They're not taps, but they're chutes where the honey comes out. And the flow hive organisations realise that the woods stretches and expands during wet weather, and you can't get the darn things out.
Okay.
So now the new flow hives are coming out with some space for that thing to move around and swell. So, but that's the only problem I've had with them. But, they're great, but of course they're expensive. So you overcapitalize if you use flow hives, but you can't put a price on a hobby either, you know.
Yes.
I wouldn't be in the game if I didn't have my flow hives.
Yes. Yeah, true. That's a very good point in saying that.
And, of course, when I'm trundled off to the old folks' home, which will happen in due course, I'll need to bequeath the flow hives to somebody, and you're on my list because the family hasn't put their hand up to take over the flow hives from me.
Well, I've got a better idea there, Keith. How about I transport and I'll bring them to the old people's home for you, so you still get to enjoy and everyone else can too.
That mightn't be allowed. But anyway, I'm only 82. I think I've got
plenty of
years to go yet.
Exactly. Yes.
And and after the COVID attack on the old folks' homes, you know, I'm not in a hell of a hurry to get there.
Yes. Yes. And with the flow hive, what sort of honey production or sort of how many, as you mentioned before, you know, the last 2 years have been a little bit of a struggle for us in the southeast of Melbourne, but what sort of quantities do you sort of average per year, Keith?
Well, we had two hives in the first year and we got 70 kg out of those. And then, I can't recall the next year, but last year we got zilch.
Wow.
And, you know, I'm sort of watching him attentively now, and they're certainly working upstairs, but I'm not seeing any surplus as yet.
Okay. But
it's still early in the season.
Yes.
But, you know, I don't know what happened last year, but maybe it was too wet. And it's been a bit wet this year too.
It has. I think with this whole La Nina weather cycle that we're experiencing, it's been wet and rainy. And
of course, when you lose swarms, that cuts down your workers. And of course, I've been splitting the hive to try and stop them swarming, but that hasn't really worked. They've still swarmed. So you lose a lot of your workers splitting and swarming.
Yeah, that's
But, you know, that's beekeeping, I guess. But the numbers are building up now, and there seems to be plenty of activity, and there's plenty of pollen coming in, so maybe it'll be a good year.
I think so too, because we've got some good warm sort of weather. It's a little bit humid, and we've had those sort of a couple of rainy days, but the sun seems to be out, so it seems to be, should be some good season ahead of us.
So, anyway,
I've
actually bought myself a third flow hive.
Have you?
As a spare. A spare
flow hive.
It's, you know, if you want to take one off for maintenance or something or other, it's good to have a spare. So I'm truly overcapitalized now.
that's so true. So question, Keith. So let's say someone wants to get into beekeeping. What would you tell them? What advice would you say to someone getting into bees?
Someone taking it on raw.
Yeah, raw. They haven't.
Well,
yeah.
Brand well, new. Get onto the web and you know, there's some good literature on the web. Get a good field guide. Norman Redpath's probably dated now, but there must be some good ones around. But find yourself an apiarist who is quite willing to teach you a few tricks and take surplus bees from you, because otherwise you've got a problem, because you can't just let your swarms take off in suburbia. It's just not on. And you know, if that happens here, I will resign the game.
Yes, very, very good point. And
they should also join a bee society, perhaps.
Yes.
I'm not a member, but a friend of Darren's is a member.
Okay.
And, we chat, and he gives me a few ideas and what have you. But I'm not a member. I guess with my hearing the way it is, I can sit in meetings and not hear too much, but. Anyway, my wife reckons it's an excuse for not listening, but she's probably right. She's been around for 58 years, as I said, and she knows most of my traits now. Not too many secrets.
No, that's funny. That's so good. You're absolutely. I love the way you've had the experience with over the time with the bees. Yeah, absolutely love that. And you're born on the 1st of January 1940. Wow, that's amazing.
1940, yep.
That's fantastic. And last question, Keith. What life advice would you pass along to some of these young folk?
What
life advice would you pass along?
What advice pass along?
Yeah. What would you like to pass along to someone? So something, is there a particular message to someone, you know, to the younger, you know, listeners who listen to this podcast? Is there a particular, is there a life advice you'd like to pass along to them?
Yeah, well, I think they should study the subject initially at any rate, and probably don't use mechanics overall so the bees can tap dance on your chest. Get a bee suit and be careful, because they can sting, and if they get you in the face and the eyes or something or other, that could be tragic. So, you know, if you go about beekeeping the right way, and I didn't, I learnt on the run, as it were.
Yes.
But I think I'm now doing it properly. And, you know, I thought in the 70s I got immune to bee venom. And I think you do to some extent, but you would know better than I do. But it clears, and you know, I'm susceptible to bee venom now. And of course, at 82, you've got to be careful what happens.
Yes, yep.
Because, you know.
Yes.
There you go. But, so, yep. Approach bees the right way, and they're absolutely wonderful. And on a warm day, pulling a frame out and watching them working and doing their figure of eight dance and what have you, it's just amazing. And, you know, when I had hearing, I could hear the queen rattling or making sound in the cell before she hatched.
That's awesome.
And but I can't hear that now. I can't even see the queen when I go in. So you told me you were going to teach me how to see the bee.
I do. There's a little a couple of tricks. Well, probably it's not foolproof, but it does help. But it's, I'd for sure. I'd absolutely love to.
Yeah, well, tell me on another day. And we don't let all our secrets out, do we?
That's so true. Keith, I just want to say thank you so much for your time. It's been an absolute honour having you on this podcast. I really, really appreciate it.
Good on you. Great working with you, mate.
No result. Take care, and I look forward to catching up with you very, very soon.
Good on you.
Bye.
See ya. Bye.
How fantastic was that episode? Absolutely fantastic talking to Keith and hearing about his life's journey with bees when he first got stung as a little youngster running through the clover bare feet. That's pretty much happened to most of us. And I just love the way he's, you know, really interested and fascinated by bees and still keeping bees to this day. You know, 82 years of age and still passionate about bees. And I'm so glad I've met Keith and have a really good friendship hearing, talking to Keith and learning from him and hearing his story. So thank you once again, Keith. And thank you too, the listener. Really appreciate your time. And don't forget, if there's someone you want to hear, send me a message. You know, send me a text, 0437-077-92. Really appreciate your time, and you take care and look after yourself until next week.